Now I say good evening, everyone. I want to thank the elders for allowing me to be able to come before you to give God's word to this evening. It's always a pleasure to be able to come up before you. It's been a long year. My topic for this evening is the new year. The new year is upon us. It seems to me that this year has gone so fast. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. I don't like saying that, but I can't change that fact. Just don't ask me how old I am, because I'm not going to tell you. For some of us, this year has been a hectic, strenuous year, to say the least. Not just to one, but to all. Yet, we do not know what tomorrow, the next weeks, months, or what this new year will bring our direction. The past has come and gone, and we cannot bring back the past or alter its events. Our deeds or our works are now behind, and we must learn from our past, but not focus on that past. A hobby of mine is string wire art. The canvas before me I can see in my mind where I can start and imagine how it will look. But even then, if it doesn't look right, I'll just start all over again and imagine how it will look. And then I will start again and restring a different direction. And if that direction is still not right, I'm going to start all over again. But the lives we weaved are woven. We cannot go back and redo or change direction they already set. So the question is, are we ready for the new year to come? It's just hours away, and it is. Are we ready to use what spiritual gifts we are given for the new year? Spiritual gift is defined as a graciously given, supernaturally designed ability granted to every believer by which the Holy Spirit ministers to the body of Christ. A spiritual gift cannot be earned, pursued, or worked up. It's merely received through the grace of God. God has given a specific spiritual gift to each one person. And these gifts given to us are gifts we can use to advance His kingdom. Whether you have received the gift of faith or other types of gifts from God, know that He has given you an important tool to help you in your spiritual journey. Each gift given has a purpose of its own. 1 Corinthians 12:4 says, "Now there are diversities, which means different of gifts, but the same Spirit." 1 Peter 4:10-11 says, "As every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Scripture tells us that every Christian believer has at least one spiritual gift, which is according to God's will. The Apostle Paul declared, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The Spirit distributes them to each one, just as He determines." 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. As Paul also writes here, these gifts are given for the common good of God's people. Elsewhere, he elaborates that the purpose of the gifts is to equip God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of our Lord Christ. Ephesians 4, 12, 11. Ephesians 4, 11 says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Let me give you an example of a spiritual gift. One Sunday morning Bible study, Obed began with spiritual gifts. And then he also went into the sermon talking about spiritual gifts. It was my wife and I and my mother-in-law. So after that, we were going to go get something to eat. As I was driving on 410, I could feel the car kept moving. And it kept moving. Finally, my wife asked my mother-in-law, Mom, what's wrong? She didn't answer. She said, Mother, what is the matter? She blurted out, I don't have no spiritual gifts. And she said it to the tone that she was crying. You see, it meant a lot to her that she thought she didn't have any spiritual gifts. We should also feel the same way. Do we have a spiritual gift? And if we do, are we using them? So right away, as I was driving, and my wife, both of us said it at the same time. Yes, you love to talk to our brethren. You love to talk to them and edify them. But then, during our fellowships, you always cook. You always cook some enchiladas, which the brethren love. And then whatever else she cooks, everybody just enjoys it. She felt at ease, but you see, she didn't realize that what she was doing was coming from the heart. It meant a lot to her. But after we told her that she was given of herself, she felt at ease. The car didn't quit moving. So I didn't have no trouble driving to where we were going to go. But it meant a lot to her, and it should mean a lot to us to see what our spiritual gifts are. How can we use them? Brothers and sisters, not everybody can be a preacher, an elder, a deacon, but you can be a servant of God and use what spiritual gift you may have to serve God and His kingdom. As Christians, we are given a spiritual gift. Romans 12, 4 through 8. 1 Corinthians 14, 1. A spiritual gift to the young adult, old and older, to men and women. This spiritual gift we must all tap into to work and labor for the Lord. Now, bringing the new year, we must resolve to assemble for worship. We need to resolve that we will worship the Almighty God in His own appointed way whenever Christians assemble for worship. At every opportunity, I say again, at every opportunity, we possibly can. We know that we are obligated to assemble each Lord's Day. Hebrews 10:25. Please go there. And we've been reading these passages on Sunday mornings. And we'll say again, Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. Forsaking the assembly means, I'm not going to go anymore. I'm going to stop. I'm just not going to worship. We're talking about those who are able, but are making a conscious choice to not attend our worship. 1 Corinthians 14:15. Says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. As brothers and sisters, we must be gathered together to worship at every opportunity. You cannot serve our Father from your sofa or pew. You cannot have the experience of worship of faith from your sofa or pew. As true Christians, we understand that we are to worship together, to love together, to do life together. You see, brothers and sisters, what a better way to start the new year than determining that when God's people meet, that we will be there to worship God in spirit and in truth. So we must worship in spirit and truth whenever the doors are open. Brothers and sisters, our bodies may hurt and suffer, especially as we grow older. No way around it. But I'm always encouraged with the brothers and sisters, no matter how much they hurt, you still see them come to worship, either in a wheelchair, using a cane or walker, but they come to worship. What an example we have. What a blessing for us to see. Our Lord knows our heart and understands you can't come to worship Him, but you see He also knows that you can and are able to come and worship. As the new year is at hand, brothers and sisters, are we ready to work and labor and say, what else can I do for the Lord this year? Think about it. The year is just a few hours away. New year. What are going to be your resolutions for this coming year? For the Lord. Not for man, but for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Okay, it says that knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, that we must, all true Christians, work and labor for the Lord God. What lessons can we learn from 1 Corinthians 15:58, as we just read? The work that is to be done by all the brethren. Therefore, brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, the work that is to be done by His children, the body of Christ. Galatians 3:26-27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The work of the Lord cannot be done by earthly organizations or by the denominations of this world. And there are so many. The message is clear. Psalms 127:1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city. The watchman walketh, but in vain. The work that is to be done is the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is for Christians to be evangelistic. Mark 16:15-16. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. As Christians, we must edify and build others up. Ephesians 4:16. Let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. As Christians for this new year, we must continue to study daily, pray daily, and worship when the doors are open. Not just Sunday morning, but Sunday evening and also Wednesday. We must be faithful to do the work of the Lord and receive the inheritance to be with our Lord God. Obedient faith. Brothers and sisters, we will have trials this new year, stumbling blocks, health problems this coming new year. But are we ready spiritually for the new year? In James 1:2-12. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this. Please go to James. I have it here. Okay. And it says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich and that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth. And the grace of the passion of it perisheth, and also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Trials not only reveal our faith, but they also develop our character within us. James is written to show that God is trying to produce in us the kind of faith that overcomes. The trying of our faith work is patience, Patience is enduring faith, faith with staying power. These verses are speaking of the trials and tests that come into our lives from outside conditions and from inside. God is trying to produce in every Christian faith that overcomes, that endures, and that it has staying power. We are to understand that trials in the Christian life are not unique, but they are for every true Christian. What else did we learn from these verses? Trials and testing happen in our lives to produce real Christian joy, to produce in us enduring faith, to mature us as a true Christian, to prayer, to bring equality among the brethren, to bring us reward in heaven. Brothers and sisters, can our growth in obedient faith in Christ truly grow in this year? Our brother Zach talked about obedience this morning. I'm just going to elaborate more on obedience. So, brothers and sisters, can our growth in obedience of faith in Christ truly grow in this new year? Yes, it can. But it's up to each true Christian and only yourself. Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Paul began and ended to the Romans with the same phrase, to bring about obedience of faith. Romans 1:5, and that says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Romans 16:26 says, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Paul ended with the Romans with the same phrase, to bring about obedient faith. This was the purpose of his ministry as an apostle and the goal of God's eternal purpose revealed through the gospel. Paul's aim was to establish the obedience of faith within the hearts of others, not only because it was what Jesus called for in the kingdom, Matthew 5:20, but because it is the only reasonable response to what Jesus has done for us. Romans 12:1, Ephesians 4:1. For what is the obedience of faith? It is not faith in our obedience. Paul is not saying that our confidence rests upon our perfect obedience to Christ, but rather that our obedience springs from a heart of faith. We obey God because we trust God. We trust God because he has proven himself trustworthy. John summed up the correct order of things when he said, we love because he loved us. 1 John 4:19. In the gospel, God took the initiative by sending his own son. James 3:16. Proclaiming the gospel means reporting good news of events which have already taken place. Namely, that Christ died for our sin in accordance with the scriptures. That he was buried. That he was raised on the third day. In accordance with the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4. Therefore, we obey God because of what he has done for us. Our obedience springs from a heart of faith. And this is obedience of faith. So in conclusion, What did we learn or go over for this new year? First, the past has come and gone, and we cannot bring back the past or alter its events. Two, spiritual gifts. Each one has at least one, but do we expand our spiritual gifts? Three, we must resolve to assemble for worship when the doors are open, not just Sunday mornings. Four, are we ready to work and labor for the Lord, for work is not in vain? Five, we talked about trials that we'll have in the new year and how to overcome them, and faith that overcomes. The sixth, obedience of our faith and growth in our faith. Brothers and sisters, in this new year, we must grow in maturity in Christ. Excuse me. Each one of us must grow. Doesn't matter who we are, each one of us. It doesn't matter your age, but it matters to God. Please turn to Hebrews 5. I'm going to read 5:11 through 14. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So yes, brothers and sisters, we must grow in maturity in Christ. Not be with milk, but with strong meat. We have a new year upon us. So say this to yourself. And I am also saying the same thing to my own self. What can I work on? What can I change so I can be more of a servant of God on this new year? Now, today is the day of salvation. You have no guarantees of tomorrow and in the new year. You are present this evening, and you have never accepted God's grace by having an obedient faith. Make today your day of salvation. Don't be like Moses and make excuses of why cannot do it today. Don't be like Naaman and be too proud to follow God's instructions. Allow yourself to have an obedient faith and accept God's free gift of salvation by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and be baptized today, and be faithful unto death. Or if you need of our prayers for you, come. Acts 22:16 says, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. As we stand and sing the song of invitation.